Ready.
Good
check. Recording?
Remember.
Yes. Okay. Okay, good morning, Council. This is mock session number 4, I believe. Is that correct? And we'll be hearing from Jamie Whitehouse, who is the Planning and Zoning Manager. Momentarily, he will be discussing for your consideration an application for a conditional use for a solar field. Before we get to that, if you will each state your name, school, and which part you're playing, starting at my left.
I am Sharnay Harmon from Sussex Technical High School, and I am the county attorney.
Okay.
I'm Carly Davidson from Seaford High School, and I'm representing District Number 5.
Ian Salisbury from Seaford High School, representing District Number 2.
Jose Ibarra from Sussex Tech, representing District 1.
Kayla Hernandez from Sussex Central, and I'm representing District Number 3.
Okay. Go ahead.
Patrick Brewer from Laurel High School, representing District Number 4.
Turner Lee, Sussex Tech High School, and I'm representing the finance director.
Steven Venable from Veritas Scholars Academy, and I am the clerk of the council.
Okay. Okay. With that, we will have, we'll turn it over to Mr. Whitehouse, and this is this a public hearing?
Just so, yeah, it'll be a mock public hearing.
This will be a mock public hearing, so this will be a little different than the ones we've had to this point. You will not only hear from him, but you will hear possibly from some members of the public who will speak either in support of or against an application. Somebody in the audience may want to ask a question or say their piece, and it will be appropriate then for you to do that. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Whitehouse. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip. Morning, council members. This is a conditional use application. So this is a land use application from a private developer. And just what I'll do, I'll provide some brief introduction on how the process works, and then I'll make a presentation, and then we'll take it from there. So a conditional use application, within the county, there are many different zoning districts. And this particular zoning district for this particular parcel of land is AR1. It's agricultural residential. And there are many things that you can do by right in agricultural residential zoning districts, such as farming, or you can have a single family dwelling. But when you require something that's not on the list of what is allowed by right, you must make an application for a conditional use. And as part of the conditional use, you submit your application, you pay your $500, you go through a public notification process where we notify neighbours living around it that there are two hearings. One is before the Planning and Zoning Commission, which takes place before County Council meets. And they hold a hearing and they hear from neighbours and they discuss it. And then they make a recommendation to County Council. And then a few weeks later, we come back and repeat the whole exercise again. And another hearing is held before County Council. So that's all of you today. So ordinarily, staff would introduce the application and then the developer would come up and speak and then you'd hear from neighbours. But today I'll be playing staff and the developer. So before all of you, there is a pack with a memorandum and some drawings. And we've simplified this down a bit. Normally you'd have very large packs and you'd have quite a lot of information before you. So my plan was to work with the memo. The application site is on the screen. It's actually a 70-acre parcel. It's actually, if you look on the map, it's actually the area shaded, bounded in blue, not the area bounded in yellow. So with that, I'll start my presentation. So this is a request for a conditional use for a portion of land on a parcel with a tax parcel ID of District 133, Map 6, Parcel 123, to allow for a solar array farm. The size of the portion of the property for the conditional use is approximately 7 acres. The property is zoned AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and this portion of the parcel is on the northeast side of DuPont Boulevard, that's Route 113, which is southeast of Georgetown. Staff would note that the results of a service level analysis have been received from the Delaware Department of Transportation, stating that a traffic impact study is not required. The site was, however, identified as being within the DLDOT Corridor Preservation Program for Route 113. Staff would note the following, that the parcel is a 70-acre parcel of agricultural land. The panels, and I'll show you an illustration of the site plan. The panels would cover approximately 50% of the site. The remainder of the site would be undisturbed. A 100-foot buffer would be applied from the non-tidal wetlands along the boundary of the site, and those non-tidal wetlands run along Alms House Ditch, which is this area of the site here, which is hatched and shaded with a dotted pattern. These are non-tidal wetlands. The additional landscaping is proposed to the perimeter of the site. The perimeter lighting is proposed along with fencing to the site perimeter. Access is sought from Betts Lane, which is to the east of the site. I'll show you. and it's not proposed, so Betts Lane is here, where there are dwellings, and access is not proposed to be taken from US Route 113. And basically, in terms of the comprehensive plan against which a decision must be made, I'll just read the memo to you now. So the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan provides a framework on how land needs to be developed. As part of the comprehensive plan, a future land use map is included to help determine how land should be zoned to ensure responsible development. The future land use map includes that the properties have, and the land have the designation of low density areas, and that is showed in the colour plan of the extract in your packs. The surrounding land uses to the north, south, east and west are also low density areas, and that these designations recognise that a range of housing types should be permitted, including single family homes, townhouses and multifamily units. Retail and office uses are also appropriate, however larger retail and office uses should be located along arterial roads. Institutional uses can be appropriate to provide for convenient services to allow people to work from home. The property zoned AR one agricultural residential, and the properties to the north and south are also zoned AR1 and C1 general commercial districts, and the properties to the east of the site are zoned AR1. So that's these sites all. So essentially it's surrounded by lands that are zoned AR1, and we can show you on the online zoning map. So anything that is not shaded is AR1, and anything that is shaded red is general commercial. So prior to this meeting, a meeting was held at the Planning and Zoning Commission. So at its meeting of March 26, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing to the application. One resident, Ms. Bulkovich, spoke in opposition to the application, raising environmental concerns with the proposed development. The Commission voted to recommend approval of the conditional use, subject to the following 10 recommended conditions. A, no storage facilities shall be constructed on the site. Lighting on the facility will consist of perimeter lighting for security purposes. One lighted sign, not to exceed 32 feet, shall be permitted. The site shall be secured by fencing with a gate with a knox box to accommodate emergency access for the local fire company. There shall be a vegetated buffer of no less than 30 feet around the perimeter of the site. All of the grounds, including the areas outside the fence, shall be maintained so that they do not become overgrown. All of the national industry standards shall be followed in the construction of the project. H, that the applicant shall coordinate with the Delaware Department of Agriculture for appropriate plantings for a bee habitat. The preference for the entrance shall be from Route 113 if permitted by Delaware Department of Transportation. And finally, that the final site plan for the site shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. So that is my presentation. And then normally, following my presentation, it would be appropriate to, if the County Council had any questions of the applicant or of staff, this would be the opportunity to ask them. Following that, we'll move into public speaking. So with that, does anyone have any questions of me?
How exactly does these panels improve the area?
So, speaking as the applicant, they provide low-cost, free, renewable electricity that then goes into the grid. There is a grid connection on the site nearby, 44 kV lines. So this provides renewable energy into the grid, which helps with energy distribution. So.
Have you talked to the residents around the area to see if they're in support of this decision?
Good question. So as staff, staff would have notified neighbours to make sure that they were aware of the application to give them the chance to come here and speak before you. So as the developer may or may not have undertaken that. In this particular case, we'll say that yes, the developers had a preliminary conversations with adjoining neighbours, and concerns have been raised about how deep the tree buffer is going to be around the site and how much are you going to see from neighbouring properties. And also the big question that came up from neighbourhood discussions was, where is all the trucks going to go when it's being constructed? There's a lot of trucks moving in, but then once it's complete, you're going to have minimal visits, and you're going to have routine visits for people to come in and clean the panels. So that was a big question that was raised. So.
As far as obstructing people's view, there would be a vegetation barrier around the entire solar field. Is that not correct?
Correct, yes. So the plan that is submitted for your consideration today, this is a conceptual plan. So this is an indication of where the panels would be in relation to the properties and the wetlands, and it suggests how the applicant would like to do that. This is not This is conceptual, so it can be changed and modified by conditions or concerns raised here today, and ultimately it's proposed that this plan, a final plan, be brought back for future consideration once discussions are complete with DLDOT and various approving agencies such as the Fire Marshal. So this is conceptual, but this shows where the panels would approximately be. So.
From looking at this, it appears that there's no vegetation barrier between the roads. Is that correct?
Correct. So the final landscape plan would be prepared and shown, and that would be in colour, not in black and white. But it is suggested that there be a, this is the area, the wetlands that are shaded with a dotted pattern here. So all of this is wooded at the moment, and all of this area is wooded. And you can see that the panels would be set back with a 100-foot buffer from the nearest non-tidal wetlands. And this area here, hatched in white, that is not shaded, so you can see the dark bold line of the site perimeter. This area here would be where landscaping would be provided. And it's suggested that, at this moment in time, that be 30 feet in depth with a mixture of trees and shrubs. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're not... So we're not worried about like drivers running into the solar panel after like an accident or anything?
Well, the field is private land, and it's proposed that it be fenced. Yes, it is located adjacent to Route 113, but the nearest panels would be approximately 50 feet back. So the likelihood of a vehicle leaving 113 and striking a panel is remarkably low, but the fence would help with that. So, okay. And we can make that breakaway fence if you so wish. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What is the purpose of the lighted sign that is given here in the proposal?
So the site will be accessed. This is not a site for the public to access, but there will be maintenance vehicles that will attend the site. So they will need to identify it. And because of the speed of traffic approaching on 113, it's appropriate to have some signs so that maintenance vehicles know where to turn.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
How exactly is this being paid for?
This is being paid for by a private developer. The time is right for this particular developer because government subsidies are such that the government will contribute approximately a third of the scheme to help pay for the panels, but it will have to be paid for by private money. So there'll be no public money involved except for the rebate that you get from the federal government. So. Any more questions of the applicant?
As of right now, what environmental concerns are around this idea?
So the site is located in very close proximity to wetlands, and because of their hydrological and environmental significance, the concern is that the panels could interfere with that. So as a result, the panels are proposed to be 100 feet. No panel will be closer than 100 feet from the nearest edge of the non-tidal wetlands. So therefore, that is the concern, that buffer is maintained. And also there is the landscaping and the wildflowers that could be planted amongst the panels and how the panels would be mowed and maintained. So the site would no longer be used for agriculture, so that would stop. So. And unless there's any further questions of me, the next step would be to move into public speaking.
Okay.
You wanna?
I'll go ahead and take over. So, sure. This one's a little different, as I explained at the beginning, than some of the others that you've, or that your colleagues have conducted this morning. This is a public hearing, so before you can weigh the application and give it your blessing or turn it down, you need to hear from the public. And so you need to hear some thoughts on what the public has to say. Maybe they have some questions, maybe some observations that you have not thought about, and that may sway your vote. So, Mr. President, at this point, you can ask if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this application, and then they come forward and they'll state, for this instance, they'll state their name and the school that they're representing.
Is there anyone that would like to state their opinion on this matter?
Thank you, Council, for being present today and hearing my opinion on this application. My name is Samantha Bolkovich, and I live at 12345 East West Street, Georgetown, Delaware.
Check that screen.
My concern is that of an environmental concern. I don't believe that there have been a proper environmental assessment done on this property, considering the amount of wetlands on the property. I'm an avid bird watcher, and I know this is prime habitat for the threatened yellow-bellied flit. And so my recommendation to the council is that you consider asking the applicant to do further environmental study on this property. Thank you.
in response. So this is the appropriate point. So once an applicant has spoken, the County Council may have questions of the speaker, but then following that, there's normally an opportunity for the developer to respond to those concerns. So the concern here is that insufficient environmental analysis has been undertaken, especially in relation to the wetlands. I can assure the council that the applicant takes wetlands very seriously, and the decision to site the panels 100 feet away from the wetlands was taken following advice and technical input on wetlands. The applicant did undertake an environmental study of the site in terms of endangered species and the... What's the name of the species?
Yellow-bellied flit.
Including an analysis for the yellow-bellied flit, and because the site is agricultural land, I mean, our technical experts advise us that the yellow-bellied flit is probably located on the areas of the wetlands to which there's no panels proposed in this area, and a walk of the site identified no endangered or threatened species, including the yellow-bellied flit, in the area that is mown and ploughed as part of the agricultural operations of the site. So we can assure you that in respect of where the panels will be located, they would be located in a sensitive manner, having appropriate regard for the environment.
Is the main concern here the construction of the solar panels as far as endangering the species of the yellow-bellied flit?
The panels are permanent, so the construction would cause disturbance, but there are no trees to be lost. So the yellow-bellied flit nests in trees, and none of the trees are proposed to be removed on this site. So the panels will be located in areas where there are no trees. But yes, during construction there would be some considerable disturbance, after which the site would be left to nature. And these panels would be there for about 25 years before they even need replacement. So there would be ample opportunities for nesting and repopulating the endangered yellow-bellied flit.
So you might have mentioned this at the beginning and I just missed it and I apologize for that, but what was grown in this area before you guys bought it and decided to put these there?
It's been farmed for many years and it's been used for a variety of agricultural crops and purposes. Mm-hmm. At the moment it's just lying fallow at the moment and just whatever nature is sowing it, but in the past it's been used for corn and it's been used for a variety of crops in the past. So
you have no idea what would be put there if we do not choose to go this route?
If the conditional use was denied, we would continue to farm it. But at the moment, it's not being actively farmed. The applicant would like to move in another direction, and the applicant would prefer to have a solar farm on this site, mainly because the applicant has farmed the site for many years and now thinks it's more viable to pursue as a solar farm.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you know how much money this is going to save people like living around the area of like the residents instead of in using the solar panel energy instead of the energy they already use?
So it's a 14.9 megawatt array, but all of that would be put back into the grid for profit on the applicant. So it wouldn't save anyone any money on their energy bills. What it would help with is brownouts and supplying energy at a local level. So this would put energy back into the grid, which reduces brownouts, which does save people a lot of money. It saves local businesses a lot of money. So there's that indirect benefit.
Mr. President, I think we have another member of the public with a comment or a question. Would you please come forward, state your name and school.
I'm Sydney Hollinger. I'm from Cape Henlopen High School, and my question was, did this proposal get approval from DENREC to have this land and to use it because it is natural resources and they typically have to approve such a proposals?
Great question.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is a very good question. So the applicant has, this application didn't have to go through the PLUS process because it's not large enough or significant enough to warrant that pre-application discussion with the state. The applicant has had preliminary discussions with DENREC, and their primary concern is the wetlands running along the border of the site, and that the panels are absolutely no closer. They would prefer further if possible, but 100 feet has been discussed and agreed as the appropriate distance between the panels and the non-tidal wetlands that are there. So that has been actively discussed, but yes.
We have another.
Oh, well, okay, thank you.
State your name and school.
Yep. Greens Council, thanks for having me come up here again. My name is Michael Burnett. I'm from Cape Henlopen High School. And I don't have a question for this proposal, but I'm here to encourage it. The way I look at it is we have unused commercial land, and all the environmental concerns people have brought up seem to be of the temporary nature. and all long-term ones seem to have been already negated through previous planning. And I advocate efficient and safe usages of our industrial commercial land. And this seems like I said, just a no-brainer to move forward with the proposal for the construction of the solar panels. Thank you.
We have another comment from citizen John Riley.
Mr. President, Council, here, I found about this a little bit late, and I didn't get to go to the planning and zoning hearing. But I live on this road, and I don't know how to show you. I'll point it out on the map. We live right here, and I have to tell you that my wife and I love Sussex County. We moved here and we basically put our entire life savings into this home, and it's beautiful. And you can see across the road, tremendous view of the open fields, and then behind our house we have the woods. And we're just very concerned that they're going to come in and they're going to strip out all these trees, and they're going to give us some buffer that's going to take 20 years to grow, and then they're going to have perimeter lights all along this thing. And instead of this beautiful view, you know, we're going to be looking at this industrial complex. And you know, we don't even know if there's, you know, materials in these panels that could break down and pollute that land. And what about the runoff that's going to go into that stream and carry those chemicals into that stream? And, you know, we're just really not happy about this. And we feel like it's going to adversely affect our property values, and if we wanted to sell our home, that we're not going to get our investment back. And I just think it's wrong that, you know, this should happen. And not only that, but Sussex County is losing farmland at an absolutely alarming rate. And, you know, we're just paving over everything. And so I thank you for hearing me. I just want to say please consider those things.
So, Mr. President, a few comments raised there. The gentleman lives, I understand, approximately here, and if I can draw on this map. So the concern raised is a legitimate concern that the panels may be seen. So the panels are arranged to face the sun, so they're going to face south. So when you're looking at them from the south looking north, you will see the face of the panels. If you're looking at them from the north, they appear as darkened shadows on the horizon. But the concern about trees is not warranted. I understand the gentleman's concern, but the trees here are all going to be retained, and we're proposing a 30-foot buffer around the entire site, which would, I mean, some of the trees would require to be planting, and yes, it takes time for those trees to reach maturity, but we're thinking long-term here. We're a global provider of solar panels, and we take that responsibility very seriously. But the drainage concerns will be attenuated and dealt with. Yes, we are providing, or would be providing if approved, additional man-made structures on the site, which will slightly alter the runoff of the site. But we are proposing drainage features as part of the scheme, and we will provide them as part to the south of the site so as not to provide runoff that exits the site. None of the water would be discharged into the existing ditch that runs along the site, so all of this will be protected, and it's our intention to leave that part of the site completely alone. As for the loss of agriculture, that this site would continue to have agricultural benefits. We'll put wildflowers, so in between all the rows of panels, there'll be gaps between the panels, and we will put wildflowers to help with bee populations and biodiversity, so that the site will continue to have an agricultural benefit long after it's been developed. So yes, there will be some impact, but there will be some mitigation for that.
Roughly how many trees will be replanted, and also will the runoff affect the quality of the water potentially in the future, and would that require the residents having to get a reverse osmosis system?
So the aim is, so the residents, those who continue to use well water, the water is intended to be infiltrated into the site, so none of it would, the site would be designed with the topography of the land to stop it infiltrating into the adjoining water courses. The aim is that all stormwater is attenuated and gathered on site to allow it to infiltrate, so it shouldn't affect drinking water quality at all, and we will continue to work with DMAC to that effect. As for the number of trees, it is subject to further engineering and calculations once stormwater is designed, but for every 100 feet of site perimeter, there would be approximately 25 additional trees, and that doesn't factor in for the fact that the buffer is 30 foot deep. So we are talking thousands of new trees here, and we're happy to bring the landscape plan back to you for your Planning and Zoning Commission to approve, and we'll show you all the species and that we've chosen appropriate Delaware native species that are suitable for this site. And that will be not just here, but that will be around the entire perimeter of the site. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So unless there are any other burning questions as we need to move along on our agenda here, as we have two more items, it would now be appropriate, Mr. President, if there are no other questions, to then call for a motion to approve the application that's before you. The way we do it here, though, if you want to do it differently, it's okay. We always make motions in the affirmative. So you would make a motion to approve. But if you want to vote against the application, you would vote no to deny. So you may make the motion to approve because that's procedurally how we do it. We don't make motions to deny, but for the sake of simplicity, if it's just easier for you guys to say a motion to approve or deny, whichever way you want to go, that's fine. So I just want to explain that.
I make a motion to approve the gentleman's proposal.
Second.
Okay, so you have a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance that would approve the application that is before you to grant conditional use to application number, what is it, 4482 XYZ Solar Field. And at this point, if there are no other questions from members of council, Mr. President, you will go ahead and call for the vote, keeping in mind that if you don't want to adopt it, you simply vote no to deny the application. Okay, so we'll start down on my left.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
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 No.
Okay. I think it was 6-2, is that correct? Okay, so 6-2 to grant approval. Okay. And is this based on anything or?
This is a live application that we've all to say. So very good questions, by the way, all very relevant, all spot on, very technical, very good. We might have some future planners here. The real life application was approved unanimously. There was some considerable discussion. There were two objectors, and including the Delaware Department of Agriculture. So those agricultural questions were spot on. There were concerns about the loss of agriculture and whether bees would be affected by the development and whether pollinators could be continued to be planted on the site, which it actually manifested in some revised conditions. So if you look in your packs, you can actually see the final list of conditions. So that list of recommended conditions is the final outcome, and it was approved. And we are in discussions with the applicants at the moment in terms of generating a site plan that will comply with all of that, but it was approved unanimously in the end after some interesting debate. So your decision was pretty much on par with the actual real life decision, so well done.
Thank you. And I think we also, if nothing more today, you've got out of this that Sussex County is home to the fabled yellow-bellied flit. And when that trends on Google and Twitter tonight, you'll know why. It all started right here in Sussex County. Thank you. All right. Thank you.